This episode of The Instance is brought to you by our friends at Hostpapa. Hostpapa's powerful web hosting solutions and cloud-based productivity tools are perfect for you, the small business owner. Go to hostpapa.com/wow today and use our exclusive promo code WOW, that's W-O-W, to save 15% off their popular shared web hosting packages. That's hostpapa.com/wow.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 456. I'm Scott Johnson, and man, happy to be here. What a great time it is for World of Warcraft and fans everywhere. So why not do a podcast about it? I'm joined today by Dills. What's going on, Dills?
Not much, man. I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft, although coming back from CreateCon, we did not have any time to do any of that. But I reached my fifth level 100 when I dinged on my DK, so I'm Legion ready. Ready to start rocking all the alts.
All five.
I did not see that coming. I actually had only two for the longest time.
I was going to say.
And then the last week, I've just, I got my free 100, but then I got two more. Two more on my own.
And you know what? I'll hold this question because this is, I'm very curious about the five, because you didn't do like Terpster, which is like, just boost them all.
I boosted the one free one. That's
right.
All I did.
Yeah. And then you got the four that you had to actually work on. So I want to get to the bottom of that in a second. But before we do, we have a special guest with us. It's all Angry Chicken all up in here. It's like a Hearthstone Inn. We got Garrett Weinzerl all the way from Florida, fresh off of CreateCon. And smelling good. You had a shower. Everything's fine. What's going on?
I'm glad that you can smell me through the internet, and I'm extra glad that it's a pleasant odor.
Yeah. Well, you should be. It's good to have you here, man. Thanks for being on.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting me back.
People always enjoy a little Garrett in their lives.
And I hope so.
Yeah, they do. We always get nice comments when you come guest on the show. Our two European chuckleheads are doing various things. Terpster's moving house, as he likes to say it. Wish we said that here. It'd be cool. We're moving house this weekend. So he's doing that. And Patrick's traveling and doing some sort of vacation thing. So it's us. It's America. America. Let's do this, America. So Dills, before we dive in, when you go from, one main that you're, working on the whole time, your hunter Dills, this is very reminiscent of back in like our Old War days. When you had three or four that you were constantly pulling up, depending on the need of the 10-man we were running, did you do them through LFR dungeon runs? Like, what? How are you getting these guys to 100 without caving and boosting them?
Mostly. So remember, we had Patrick talking about the way to do it, and like now with your garrison stuff, you can earn the thing that gives you the potion for the extra XP boost and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You just do that, and then you don't do any questing or anything. You queue up, and you do some dungeons, but then you also just do the like bonus stuff in every zone. Mm. That's all you do. It's
really?
So simple.
Really?
Yeah.
And time-wise, how long do you think that took you?
It took like way less time than I expected. I thought, I kept logging into a new guy like, with all the changes, let's check out how my paladin is now. Hmm. And then I would start running around, and then I would just have a blast. I'd be like, all right, you know what? Well, we're like level 94. Let's just keep rocking this. Hmm. And the next thing you know, I was level 100. It wasn't like a planned thing. Hmm. I wasn't like, you know what? I want to get all my alts to level 100 before Legion. I just was messing with all the new stuff, trying to learn like how all the new classes are being played. Because it's all very interesting to me. Like when I went into LFR that first night and we wiped an LFR, I was like, yeah, there's been a lot of changes. Nobody knows what the hell is going on. So, I just kind of wanted to know, how do DKs work now? Mm-hmm. Turns out DKs work really good, by the way.
I've heard this. Yeah. Heard good things about
that. Was it Unholy? That's Unholy, right?
Mm. Unholy is nuts right now.
Yeah. It's crazy, dude. It's like, this shouldn't be how, no class should be able to play it this simply and do that much damage. Like, it seems nuts.
Wow, you made me want to dust off my old...
You really need to try it out, right, man.
I'll give him a shot.
Like, the thing is, like, every class is brand new, and this is, like, my favorite part of whenever they do any big overhaul thing like this is just going in and figuring out all the things that have changed.
Yeah.
yes, so many things have been simplified, but there was a lot of classes where they just had so many damn buttons, and a lot of them didn't make that much sense, but you still had to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And so like DK is just a perfect example of, okay, pare down the rotation, simplify everything. There's no more like different types of runes. It's just all death runes now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, before you had to manage your blood and your frost and your unholy runes and all that kind of crap. No more. No, yeah. Just screw that. You have six runes. That's it.
You have the runes, death runes. Yeah. That's all that matters is freaking death runes.
Yeah. Which always was weird to me, too. Like, I was like, I'm a blood knight or a blood DK. Why do I have frost runes?
Right.
Really?
Right.
I still got to use those?
Right. Yeah. No, it's the same with, like, mages always bug me that way. It's like, if you're going to, I want to go deep into the, you know, whatever the lore of this dude is, and you're making me do fire stuff, and I don't want to. I want to be frosty.
Well, yeah, I'm a frost mage. I still have fireball. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why do I have that?
Yeah.
By the way, are you still really liking frost?
Yeah, quite a bit. I also messed with fire some. Also like it.
Fire is, like, the spec, I think, right now.
Yeah, I think so, too. Damage-wise, it certainly is. Yeah. You know, I, for whatever reason, I just like the idea of an icy cold mage man. And so for me, that's the lore I'm most interested in, or the, the fantasy I like the most, but clearly fire mages are tearing it up.
I tried again because you were so into it. I was like, all right, maybe I was wrong. Let's go check this out.
Yeah.
And I still hated it. I don't like what they did to Frost, man. It's so weird. There's all this like weird stuff you have to do.
There is weird shit. There's stuff for sure that's pretty weird, but it's, I don't know, for whatever reason, it's working for me. What surprised me most about the mage was just the feeling that I'm more like a guy that's got a bunch of magic. And in the past, it just felt like these are just projectiles like from anybody else. I may as well be a balanced druid or a freaking, you know, even a hunter in some ways. Like, I'm just firing stuff and who cares? And this,
well, you know, after the movie, they needed to make mages really cool, right?
Yeah.
Because they looked powerful as all hell in the movie.
Yeah. You gotta Khadgar this stuff up, man. You gotta
like throw the rune under your feet or whatever, and mm-hmm. power up your spells. And I really like the fire mage. I've been really enjoying that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I should be frost mage for leveling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, sucks.
It's just not great for the nice thing is all three specs seem pretty solid for leveling now. So
yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
you just gotta do the mage stuff where you just run the hell away all the time.
Making food, run away, sit down and eat. That's your rotation. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Well, I'm happy to hear that. And I want to get deep into what we're all doing in these weird days of patch, almost invasion time, almost expansion time. And we'll do it right after this. So, Garrett, let's hop over to you. What have you done in the game since this patch?
I'm feeling I'm picking up what Dills is laying down, because I logged in the other day just to, you know, see some of the changes, play around a little bit, and I ended up dusting off my warrior, who I haven't played much since the beginning of Lich King.
Yeah, you got a bunch of new animations and fun stuff to deal with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I've gotten at some point, I couldn't tell you when, I don't remember, I got my warrior up to 90. I don't remember when. The last time I raided with my warrior was Lich King.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, I don't know. Somebody told me Fury was fun. So let's grab two swords and let's go take it out for a spin. And I just wanted to try it. I just wanted to see the changes, the Fury. And before I knew it, I played for like 3 hours. I was level 92. I had my garrison up to the second tier already. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I really like what they did to warriors.
Well, what you just described sounds like what Dills is describing. There's something going on in this patch that makes everybody want to play, like figure out their stuff, and before you know it, you're a level you didn't think you were going to get to or whatever. I did the same thing with a druid. I started a level 1 druid and somehow I'm 20, and I didn't even intend to do that. All my goal was to say, you know what, I've never really looked at the troll starting area, and I've never played a druid, like not even once, so I don't have one to boost, I don't have one at a higher level, I'm just going to go make one for funsies. I'll probably get to like level 5 and get out.
Yeah.
Freaking level 15 comes. I'm like, oh, I'm already level 15. Interesting. Okay. Well, I won't get to 20, surely. A couple hours later, I'm like, shit, I'm 20. What am I even doing? Like, am I taking this guy to 100? Am I going to boost him? Like, now I have a real conundrum about that guy. But anyway, continue. You were saying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, first off, accidentally 20 will be the title of my next WoW tribute album. but no, I feel this does tend to happen at the beginning of just about every expansion. There are so many changes made to just about every spec in the game that It's like you have to go and you have to relearn the game again. But there's something about Legion where some classes got it more than the others, but they really upset, you know, they really changed a lot of things. A lot of the different specializations feel significantly more unique and defined than they used to, especially if you look at something like what they did with Survival Hunter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, like they couldn't have made it more different. I'm still,
yeah.
By the way, still sort of jury's out on that. I don't know. Dills, have you had any additional thoughts about how survival feels?
Well, so I put out, I put out two videos, one on Marksman Spec and one on Survival. Mm. My Marksman video hit 1,000 views like pretty quick.
Yeah.
Survival's like still like 300 views. So take that for what you will. Yeah. Maybe people just don't really give a crap about becoming melee hunters.
Yeah, that's, I feel like, because Scott, you already talked a little bit about like what you get into, like the lore of your character, just to feel like what speaks to you and what grabs you. If you started a hunter at any point, let alone like even in like the last 3 months, but those of us who have been playing since vanilla, I don't think we started a hunter to be a melee fighter. Yeah. We would have done rogues if we wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably what it is just that people are kind of rebelling against this idea a little bit. Now, I wasn't against it. I kind of embraced it as like, oh, this is a fun idea. And I mean, you guys remember, you've been playing for a long time. There was a time when it was like the hipsters were trying to be melee hunters anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Remember like mongoose fighting and raptor striking and be like, oh, I don't even use my bow. And you're like, all right, dude, well, you're not in my raid, so whatever.
That's exactly how I leveled.
But the other thing is that, first of all, Marksman is just better, I think, as far as DPS output. Survival is still struggling a little bit. But yeah, like, hunters aren't, like, I tried it and I LFR'd with it and all that kind of stuff. And just standing under a boss just felt so bizarre to me. Like, it wasn't what I should be doing.
Yeah,
so,
it does feel really incongruous to what we've been used to. But there's a lot of nostalgia for the old way. Like, there's a lot of people who think that back in the day when you could have a melee weapon and play that way, that was the cool way to be. And I think they just don't remember. It's like, I don't know, what's it like? It's like the first time you took down Ragnaros, you think, man, that was a cool raid. No, it's not. Yeah. Molten Core is a piece of shit. You just had to be shown now that it's not great and that we've come a long way. So I say all this knowing there are people listening right now going, dude, I love this new spec. It's amazing. I'm going to be a melee hunter until the end of time. In that regard, I'm super glad that Blizzard did this. I'm glad that there's this differentiation, because in the past, the three of them were all kind of homogenous in a lot of ways. I mean, sure, there were strengths to certain things and, you know, Marksman was better for this or whatever. But this is now a situation where there are three very distinct specs, and they kind of will fit whatever anybody's needs are. And it feels like it's not just hunters. Others are getting the same treatment, and it feels pretty good.
I'm glad it's there. I like that it's there. And I actually really enjoyed the rotation and everything. Just as far as, like, damage output goes, you might as well just run Marksman right now. And then, like, Beastmaster is still the best for things like soloing old content or killing elites and things like that. Like, it's just still better to have your pet take that damage, right, than you. Your pet is a big part of your damage and survival, though. And it's a very, like, I'm going to be very curious to see as I get to, like, you know, level 110 and actual high level gear and being able to kind of move things around, how it'll look when I have like a high amount of mastery.
Hmm.
Because the way, so if, have you tried it at all, Scott?
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Not a lot. So I didn't like
it. It's weird how it's all built around mongoose biting as much as you can. Right.
Yeah.
And like doing it in big bursts.
Mm-hmm.
And then your pet has a chance to give you more mongoose bites, but that's based on your mastery. So you have to kind of stack that to then end up with more mongoose bites, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really theory crafted all that out yet.
Yeah.
But it's such a bizarre way to do it. But I'm like, at high levels of gear, this type of thing changes. Like, the rotation will get more like lax. It'll be easier to get more mongoose bites, right? So then suddenly the actual buttons you push start to change, like how often you're pushing mongoose bite and things. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't really know if I feel the full power of it right now, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm in level 100 gear. That's actually not that great, because I haven't been like hardcore raiding this expansion. So,
sure,
you know, I want to like give a full on, like, this is actually how good all the specs are. I'm not qualified to do that yet. So,
yeah. And that's the thing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, this thing you need to keep in mind too, like the specs that are the top of the damage meters right now may not necessarily be top of the damage meters once we get to 110. We get to the new max. Yeah. We get the new tier sets and trinkets. Right now at level 100, things are it's just out of whack, and it always is at the beginning of once that pre-expansion patch comes down.
Yeah. Well, we don't have our artifact weapons yet. We don't have we don't have all that stuff. Right. That's going to make a big difference in the long run to what's really going to be the top spec. So making your determination now is a little bit preemptive. Everybody should just kind of try it all. I think the important thing is try it all and then just have fun with the leveling process. And don't worry about all this, you know, min-maxing crap until we're actually level 110.
Yeah, there's a desire. There's a desire early on for people to want to min-max, and it's just kind of a fool's errand because this is all going to change. Not just between now and release, which it will. We're getting patches pretty regularly. They're changing things. People can scream all day that their spec feels underpowered, but it's just kind of a pointless argument to have at the moment because that expansion is going to hit, and things are going to feel different on day one, and they're going to feel a different a week later when they apply their first big patch to the game. There's going to be quick fixes and hot fixes. They're going to tweak things. So don't get your heart set on level 100, no artifact weapon. I'm OP or I'm underpowered with my spec, because that's all going to change. For me right now, I'm just trying to find the stuff I find the most fun, like the things that really speak to me. Frost mages speak to me. That druid is freaking really fun. Like balanced druids and what's the DPS one with the when you turn into a cat? Cat form, really fun.
Feral.
Yeah, feral.
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 That's really fun.
There's two types of feral, but yeah.
Right. I haven't taken
Moonkin form is actually pretty cool because they got rid of the dumb like having to figure out if you're lunar or solar or whatever and all that back and forth mess.
That drove me up a wall. Absolutely up a wall because my wife Katie plays, but she plays in like bursts, and there will be 3 to 4 month breaks in between. So every time she's like, all right, I'm down, let's play WoW again, I'm like, all right, let me research how to play Bond through it again, because I don't remember, and I know you don't remember either, so let's figure this out. And I hate figuring it out. I'm so glad that's gone.
Yeah, but all of that stuff is just making me go, oh, all right, well, this is like fun. Like, I'm getting the most fun. It may not be min-maxed or getting the best DPS for raids or anything, but I'm having the most fun with the Hunter with Beastmaster, because there's just so much weird shit going on with Beastmaster that I really enjoy. I like the lore of it. I like that I feel like I have a zoo behind me that's just ready to pop any minute.
Yeah, the new version of Stampede is pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Just a ton of random beasts just start come flying out from where you are and rushing towards it.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's awesome. The fact that you can talent back in a form of volley, it's not quite the same, but a kind of volley.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Because when I saw volley, I was like, oh, sick. And then I saw what it was, and I was like, wait, what?
It's super weird.
But I did. There was a time I completely complained about volley because, you know, when we were doing like ICC, and I remember I raided with 5 hunters in a 25-man team.
Yeah.
And we would all be at the top of the DPS list, and then we had our own channel for like Hunter Talk.
Yeah.
And we like one guy would be leading DPS after like one pack of mobs or whatever, and you're like, yeah, dude, you put more mobs inside your circle. Good job. Like, congratulations, you're the best hunter ever. It was just like the stupidest. We all knew it was dumb. Like, it didn't matter. You know, just one of us hit it at the right time or whatever, got some crits or something on our volley. Yeah. The whole circular DPS thing is not the funnest way to do it. So I'm glad they've kind of found new ways to give us AoE damage.
Yeah,
kind of effect you get off of stuff.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
You say that now, but you're leaving out the most important part. It looked awesome with that many volleys going.
Well,
off.
Sure, yeah, with tons of hunters volleying. Yes, absolutely. Right now, though, that animation is back at least, because when it actually does, it still rains. Because what it is essentially you turn it on and you use a little extra focus, but you hit multiple targets, right?
Right.
And when you hit something, like a couple arrows splash out of the sky, the old school volley animation.
Yeah, it's kind of you don't point up like you did in the old days, but which is too bad because I always like that. But when you do this, it is you're right. It's like a toggle. You turn it on, and even auto shots are bringing down with every shot a volley from the sky.
Arrows from the sky. So it's like sweeping strikes. If you've ever played Rogue. Is that what it is? Sweeping. You turn it on or off, and you use more energy.
Oh yeah, it's similar to that. Yeah,
hit multiple targets. Yeah,
I am going to make a big pro comment about how the game is now handling energy, focus, in some cases mana, but specifically focus with the hunter feels really good to me now. It's different. than it used to be. Also, it keeps throwing me off that I got to shoot, was it Wyvern Shot or whatever it is, to like, that's my focus dump, when it used to be the thing that built focus. It's just, it's my brain is not quite still wrapped around, you know, that ability being what it is in Beastmaster. But anyway, the...
All right, Sweeping Strikes is Warrior, sorry.
Oh, it's Warrior.
What's the thing, chat room? Tell me what it is in Rogue.
What's
it's
it called?
It's going to drive me crazy.
Because there's a version for Rogue. I know what you're talking about.
What, Blade Flurry?
Is it Blade Flurry?
That's
no.
Warrior.
You get that at a Taco Bell during the winter. That one time they do the Blade Flurries.
Yes, and I'm not thinking of Fan of Knives either, because that was like the thing. I'm talking about like the toggle on and off ability. Maybe it's not even there anymore. Sorry.
Maybe it's old.
Saying Blade Flurry.
Maybe it's old. I don't know.
Blade Flurry. No, that's.
Oh, I was wrong. It's not Taco Bell. It's Dairy Queen. Oh, Scott, just dad jokes.
Slice
all right.
And dice. Twitchikin's got it. Slice and dice.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Yes. Well, anyway, it's a toggleable thing, and I love it. And I use it in solo stuff because often you're doing groups of mobs, and it's just a nice little thing. And because it does it with auto shots, it doesn't really use that much focus. But I really like the way focus feels, and I really like the way energy feels for a feral druid. That stuff just feels tight to me and like really responsive and less of like this slow building thing. And it feels more fluid. It's difficult to explain, but there's just something about the way that the resource management is working with hunters and druids that I really like. And I can't really speak to others. I know there are a lot of changes across the board, generally speaking, but those feel really good to me. I never seem to be out of mana at all with the mage. That was true before. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's, am I ever going to have a case in a raid or something where I'm just out of mana and have to, whatever that thing's called, inebriate, or what's it called? Not inebriate.
Innervate.
Yeah. Am I ever going to have
inebriate.
To
inebriate? That's what what Chen Stormstout does.
Yeah. Chen has his own ability for that. But I don't know. It just, that stuff feels good to me. And
have you tried Arcane yet? Because I haven't tried Arcane.
No, I haven't messed with Arcane at all.
That might be the one that runs out of mana. If they still at some point work the same way, because it used to be that like Arcane Blast cost more mana each time you hit it,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
I switched to it once, watched all my little buttons float down and land in the bar, and then I didn't do anything. I don't remember why I logged out or something.
You're like,
so.
Nah.
I'm like, nah, these all look weird and purple. I'm not interested.
These aren't cold enough.
Yeah, things are. Honestly, the ice thing is just my jam, and I don't even like cold. I hate winter. There's something about ice mages that just, I don't know, puts me where I want to be. I also did some other weird stuff. I went and soloed a bunch of dungeons. Turns out, this is the funny thing, if you go back to like Kata dungeons, they're all ridiculously soloable, easy peasy, nothing hard at all.
Sure.
One shot most everything, even with crappy gear. And I thought I'd done them all, because I didn't actually go check the achievement and make sure. But I swear, when we were doing Cataclysm, I saw every dungeon there was. And that one up in the sky in Oldham, the pinnacle of whatever it's called. Shit, forgot
Vortex
the name.
Vortex Pinnacle?
Yeah, I think that's it. Not the raid one that's sort of based on that, but just the dungeon. I got up there, and I swear I remember seeing it. I remember doing a bunch of stuff. I remember the way these wind funnel things would like push you up the stairs and like all of these mechanics. Yet when I finished it, it said, bling, you've finished all dungeons in Cataclysm. Well done. And I'm like, wait. I never finished that, so it must have been one of those deals where I was doing like a random and got kicked, or...
Or you finished it on an alt or something like that.
Something weird, yeah. So anyway, that was fun to do, but the point of all that, the reason I'm doing these is I'm doing like a lot of people, which is kind of in this transmog mode where I want to go collect everything. And so I'm doing a bunch of that, trying to get old achievements. I didn't have the full exploration achievement for Cataclysm, so I did a bunch of that. I just had little corners I hadn't explored yet or whatever. So a lot of that stuff going on. It feels like I'm not alone. Like a lot of players are doing that.
Doing a bunch of transmog runs myself.
How's that going for you? What do you? Are you getting lucky? Are you getting the drops you want? Like, how's that going?
So far, no, I haven't actually. I have not been getting lucky. I've not been getting the drops I want. But I've been having a good time seeing the old stuff. I've been running Kara, trying to get a couple extra pieces for my Demon Stalker set up for my Hunter. Mm. Because I have most of it. I think I'm missing the boots that match. That drives me nuts.
In real life and video games, by the way. It's both.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I can't stand it when my boots don't match my outfit, Scott.
You're such a fashionista, man. Just such a nerd about matching your shoes and your clothes.
Actually, yeah, boots in general are just eluding me. I'm also trying to find the boots that match the ICC tier for Death Knights and haven't been able to get those to drop off of Syndergosa.
Well, I have I've made a
point.
No
one looks at your shoes, though, man. It's all about helms and shoulders. Yeah. We all know this.
I always hide my helms because I'm too obsessed with my in-game hair.
Yeah, of course you are. It makes perfect sense coming from you, honestly.
What you got to do, though, is then you just get the bandana going.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Or the little glowy the glowy molten core thing that just rings around your
head. Yeah, the glowy fire crown is also pretty good. Yep. Yeah,
that one's all right.
Still show off the hair and... Or engineer goggles. That's what I've been rocking.
Oh yeah,
the goggles are actually really awesome for a long time, and I never wore them because you quickly outpaced them.
Yeah,
and then I just didn't want to put them in my damn void storage. Now it's just the automatic. So
yeah, I like that.
My hunter is always wearing transmogged engineering goggles. I think they're just so ridiculous looking. I love them.
I want a pair of those. I don't know if I even have them. I don't think I've ever had them. I must have had them at one point. I should go check my thing. But anyway, that you bring up a good point. So the transmog system works really well. It's a good cache dump. It works like it does in Diablo, basically. You got a dude over by the void storage guy who has to be the loneliest NPC in the history of the game at this point because nobody's
Well, everybody spent some time with him right away.
Yeah.
Pulling all your gear out and then... vendoring yeah. it.
It's like mass withdrawal at a local bank. People all showed up, took all their money out, now he's just left there going, "Oh shit, what am I gonna, you know, what kind of job is this?" But anyway, the other guy will help you out, takes
it's
care
like
of your
a
stuff.
Scene from It's a Wonderful Life.
Mary. So I went and I went down a road very specifically to find some really ratty old crusty, hunter-y looking gear. And I wasn't interested in big glowy shoulders that came out of the dungeons that I ran or anything like that. I was looking for like lopsided pauldrons that looked a little ratty with metal hanging off of them and the kind of terrible looking cloak and like a face covering thing that just shows my eyes looking just like some sneaky like Mad Max dude who's been wandering the wastes with his pet. And I totally did it. I achieved this look that I wanted. And I used to think I didn't care about transmog, but now I'm kind of like totally in. Like, all the transmog, please. That'd be great. Anyway, goals are to get more of that before the end of thing, hit more dungeons.
That's a good goal.
Yeah, more raids, more I mean, you know, what else is there to do, honestly? I could be leveling other characters, I suppose, but...
So for me, it's still... I just have to make sure I get my LFRs in every week until it hits, because I'm only like 10 tomes away from finally finishing the damn legendary quest.
No, so, you're going to get it then. Sweet.
I'm going to get it. Yeah. And actually the other night we were up until maybe 5 a.m. I was playing with a guy in Brazil and two Australians and we were doing LFR. It was awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Truly an international conglomerate of people getting back into World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
On the stream, there's going to be a lot more of wowing and stuff. And so, when people are watching, feel free, you know, if you're a WoW player and you've been looking for someone to LFR with, I will be doing LFR with viewers a bunch.
Yeah.
Until I think I have 3 more weeks or something. I can't remember exactly when the cutoff date is, but gotta make sure I do it every single week.
So. Well, the invasion's next Tuesday, and then you have another. Oh, let's see. When is this? The 30th. So it's still about a month away. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll get it.
I'm cutting it close. That's for sure.
Shaving
I
right
believe
up
in you, Dills.
Yeah, I do too. I have hope in my heart. All right, let's talk a little bit about the big news of the week. Camera zoom distance limit has been increased.
Thank God!
A lot of people were upset. There was a mod even that came out. Blizzard wasn't real happy about that because this thing put it like way out in space almost. It was ridiculous. And so they've raised the zoom limit to halfway between what it used to be and what it is now. So, meaning what it was pre-patch and what they shortened it down to that nobody seemed to like. And now it's somewhere in between, or it's literally right in between. So, is that enough for you? Because you were, outspoken.
I'll say this. It wasn't like I was super concerned myself. It was just like it was one of those things where I'm taking something away from you. And I didn't really see the real need to do that. as far as like some other people, though, some people had legitimate gripes where, I'd heard somebody say that visually for them they had like vertigo or something, and if they or some sort of thing where if they were that close to their character it made them feel sick and they needed to be able to pull out and look, I who am I to judge if that's true or not. That's just, if that that's happening to a person and suddenly it sucks for them and they can't play, that that is too bad.
Yeah.
Personally, I like zooming out as far as I possibly can. The current amount of zooming out was enough for me. So this is fine either way. I haven't had a problem since the change, but now I will zoom out the extra little bit that I can. So, yeah.
You'll take the zoom you can get.
I want to see as much as I can. I really do.
So. Yeah. I think in rating, that's where I want to be. Outside of that, I actually kind of like to be a little closer. But I don't like to be behind
a big
wide-winged mount that you're on where it's just like flapping 6 feet on each side and you can't go further out to stop that from like smacking the peripheral images of your eyeballs.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Oh, so, proto drakes are such a nightmare.
Yeah, that's the one I'm
thinking
of.
But the other thing, too, is PvP. Like, if you're running through the middle of Warsong Gulch, you want to be pulled out as far as you can so you can see people approaching and, you know, gauge what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And spinning the camera around and things while you're running a flag back, you just wanted that wide scope, you know?
Jeez, if you want easy mode, I mean, if you're a real hardcore player, you play first person. You scroll
all the way in? Yeah.
Gosh, no.
Never.
That sounds awful.
Have you ever tried to play World of Warcraft like that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, for real?
Oh, God, yes. It's terrible.
It's awful. It's ridiculous.
There's no way.
I've tried it, but it's just bad. It's just bad.
Make sure you put on a head bob as well if you do that.
Yeah. Turn on that action
cam. Auto camera correction too while you're at it, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Why not?
You
why
let
not
go of the thing, have it shoot back to looking forward.
When you're in tight quarters, sometimes depends on where you're at, but if you're in a city where you have to be up in a corner somewhere, or you're in a raid that's in a weird squishy place, sometimes I will do that so that the camera stops like hitting geometry behind me and making me zoom into myself. So that'll just stop that craziness. But for the most part, that game, I don't know how you'd play. Somebody out there is going to email and go, I played the entire game first person. I don't even know what my character looks like. And then I'll be like, all right, man, I guess that's why they made it. So a few of you can do it.
If you do, is there anything where you could go to like a mirror? Does that exist?
I don't think so.
No.
Can you see like in the water? Do you see your reflection? I can't even think of if that happens.
No, I don't think so.
I don't believe it reflects your character.
Oh,
no.
My gosh. What you're telling me is there are no mirrors in Azeroth. Ergo, a.k.a. everyone's a vampire. Whoa! New secret.
Clearly,
you know,
that's what that means.
Well, they've been saying there's a secret thing in Legion no one knows about yet, and it's going to take us months to figure it out. I think I just freaking nailed it. Everyone's a vampire. It's the new class. This is a super class, and we all can be a vampire.
Well, there is ways to, like, copy yourself and have like a ghostly apparition thing or whatever, right? With like a toy.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the only way.
Yeah, I don't know of any, like there's no, like in regular video games, you're playing Max Payne or something and you walk into a bathroom, there you are in the mirror. There's nothing like that in the game. I don't know why I used Max Payne as my example, though. That was real.
I was just about to ask, why Max Payne?
I don't know. It just came to my mind.
That's not the video game reference you always go to?
Can't say it is.
I don't know why that...
Wasn't it Marky Mark who played Max Payne?
Oh, yeah.
Am I thinking of it right?
He did make a movie out of that.
Really, really
I
kind of
want to watch that.
Oh, it's bad.
I never saw it. Oh, really?
You should watch it, but you should know that it's bad going in. It's bad.
That's fine.
Just watch... why can't I think of it now? The movie with him and... Matt Damon.
Which one? Wait, Matt Damon. What was
it? Matt Damon's in it. Leonardo DiCaprio's in it. Jack Nicholson's
in it.
The Departed.
Yeah, just go watch The Departed and tell yourself you watched it.
I can't watch that movie because I just get sad at the end.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, everybody dies.
I still haven't seen it.
That's
on me, though, because I've always meant to. I've seen every Scorsese movie.
We're way past the spoiler. Like, I didn't even have, I honestly didn't even have to say that.
No, I agree. You don't even have to warn people. But yeah.
I think that is one of those movies that about halfway through you realize what's going to happen. I think. It's pretty obvious.
I've seen every Scorsese movie but The Departed, and I don't know. Oh, and
There's one guy who doesn't die, Scott.
Oh.
One guy doesn't die. So here you go. This is your chance. Now you get to go see it, and you get to like go, which is the guy who doesn't die?
Can I guess? I probably shouldn't guess.
It's Marky Mark.
All right.
Sorry. What?
Is he I'm really fairly certain there is more than one person in that film that survives.
But is he the only
one? No. Like everybody, even like the secondary partner of people that is barely part of the movie, they die too. Like just everybody dies.
Everyone dies. Everyone's dead by the end. Except him. Yep. He's like that Twilight Zone episode where he's like left alone in the world and has to read all the books without his glasses. Fantastic. Well, I'm glad he lived so he could go on to make that Transformers movie. Let's move on. Anyway, they say this, by the way, about the camera distance thing. We look forward to hearing your feedback. Once these changes are live, we want to continue to work to improve readability, usability, and accessibility of our game from a visual standpoint, including camera functionality and community feedback and discussion are invaluable when dealing with such an inherently subjective area. I just think it's weird that after 11 years, now we're changing the camera. That's all.
I agree. Yeah, that's where I am. Because I'm kind of with you, Dills. Like, it didn't really bother me. I don't really care all that much, but I just find it odd that after so long that now they feel to smack it with a hammer.
Yeah.
It just seemed to me like the proper way to deal with this was just say, hey, you know how we had a weird thing where you could type in a macro and suddenly have more camera distance? Well, we just put that into the regular settings in the UI, and now everybody can just do it in the UI rather than having to type in, you know, / console, whatever the hell it was that you had to actually do. Mm. That would have made the most sense. And then they did that instead. And now people are pissed. And it's like, yeah, you didn't even have to make people pissed. Like, you could have just skipped over this whole process.
Maybe it's something they just always regretted. Maybe since day one, they're like, man, I wish we wouldn't have done that far out camera.
I feel like there's other things they should regret more.
What, like flying? Flying is a good regret.
Pandas, maybe.
I love pandas.
I'm not a guy who hates the pandas.
I love pandas. Listen,
I'm not saying personally I don't like the pandas, but a lot of people hate the pandas. So if you're like trying to find the thing that to regret, it's stuff like that. I don't know, man.
Pandaria is still like, I have more fond feelings for Pandaria with every day that
goes by.
I'm not
saying this for me, but there's a whole contingent of people out there that hated the pandas.
You're not wrong.
Moment of, okay, a lot of people are starting to exit this game.
You're not wrong. Right? A lot of people were upset. I shouldn't say everybody.
Crip showed all of the, on his stream one night. It was actually pretty funny. He showed all of the cinematics, like the first time you saw the new cinematic for an expansion. Mm-hmm. And he was like, all right, so check this out. All right, here we go. Here's ICC, and here's the first one, and here's Burning Crusade. And then he's like, and here's pandas. He's like, so we looked at that and we were like, no. And to be fair too, that first thing that they released didn't really because it was before they actually showed the real cinematic that we saw with the Horde and Alliance guy fighting and then the panda coming out and whipping both their ass and all that stuff. Before we saw that, they just did like the feature release thing and they were like showing all this stuff and none of it seemed that good.
Yeah.
In comparison to, you know, seeing Illidan and seeing the Lich King and all that kind of stuff. So
I mean, I agree. It's a weird step in a direction that wasn't necessarily in keeping with the overall tone of previous expansions. However,
it took a lot of people by surprise.
However, once you get in and you play that content, you're like, man, these are cool people with like really rad history, and I could listen to Cho tell me stories all day, and freaking, you know, Lili might annoy me, but her uncle's kind of cool, and you know, the monkey well, king away.
That's annoying as hell. Yeah. I went back to Pandaria the other day for some pet stuff. I had to go to the friggin' Lost Isle or whatever it was to do the damn tournament.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really enjoyed the aesthetic. I was like, oh, yeah, I miss this place.
And the music's great. Everything's great.
I was absolutely in the same boat. When it was announced, I was just like, oh, this is the death of this game. This is so dumb. I'm not into it at all. And the second I actually went and played that content.
Yeah.
It made absolute sense to me. It's like, no, this 100% fits within Azeroth. Also, who the heck was it? Twitchikins in the chat room goes, if you hate pandas in a game with cow people, ..
Sure.
That was always the argument.
I mean, that's the thing, honestly. Like, we've already got murlocs. We've already got gnomes. Like, why are we drawing the line at pandas?
Right. It's a stupid thing. Yeah. But, however, I remember thinking I didn't ever want to be a panda. I remember wanting to play the content. I liked the Asian aesthetic. I liked the music. I liked all that. But I remember thinking, I'm never going to play a panda. But now...
Now your panda is
mage,
right?
I love my mage. The mage is a panda. He's a big, fat, freaking panda. And he's a badass. And he's got magic coming out of every hole, and he's amazing.
Oh God! So that sounds like something you should get checked out. But the Panda 2, they took a lot of risks with Mists of Pandaria. First of all, having an expansion where the acronym was MOP. Well, wow. that's a risk in and of itself. But having a race where you could choose Horde or Alliance, that was a big change. I mean, there's a lot of stuff they did.
Yeah.
That was before. Like that's. Seems ridiculous. Why would you ever do that?
Yeah.
So maybe for a lot of people, like it felt like the game changed quite a bit. But I enjoyed the fact that they were willing to take a risk there. You know,
yeah. It also came out under the umbrella of, you know, Kung Fu Panda came out what, like 8 months before the game was announced or something. And
that's
people,
just coincidence.
And it was, but people conflated it. Whether it was coincidence or not, people are like, oh, Kung Fu Panda, I don't want that in my World of Warcraft. And
Blizzard was capitalizing on the Kung Fu Panda craze.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's real stupid.
I'm pretty sure there was like a good 4 years between the first Kung Fu Panda and Mists of Pandaria.
I don't remember. It was something like that. I don't know if it was 4 years, but it was something like that. And people conflated the two, whether Blizzard or we or anyone else wanted to or not. That's all we heard on the show back then. Was Kung Fu Panda this, Kung Fu Panda that. And I remember thinking, guys, it's not even like remotely related. The pandas in the Warcraft lore have been around a long time. I've had that Chen Stormstout statue for like 10 years over there. Like, this is old school stuff. And
yeah,
people...
pandas were always part of the lore, really. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't that new at that time. It was just now they're actually coming into the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And no regrets, man. Totally loved it. I got no problem.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just saying, if we're going to compare like Blizzard missteps in World of Warcraft, I don't think the camera view distance is the top priority of things that need to get. Like, we need to look at this, guys.
Yeah.
Get our best engineers on this stat. Like, that's, yeah, to me, it's, there's several other things that maybe.
I think they addressed one of the biggest issues, which with the new transmog system. That was the thing that drove me up a wall. I wanted my item slots back.
Yeah.
There's actually, you know what, though? There's arguments to be made for just getting rid of transmog, period.
No.
Because there was I look, and again, you can't make everyone happy, and I love the transmog.
Right.
But there is a valid point in that there was a time where you could visually see another character and know what gear they had on.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And know like how powerful they were, what they had done. And now you have no friggin' clue.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a bit like, I don't know, it's like Master Skins and Heroes a little bit. Like, when you see somebody, you see Jaina in her Master Skin, you're like, well, I know that guy spent at least 10 levels with her, or girl, not necessarily a guy. And he's probably pretty rad with her, and so I should watch out or whatever. And then when somebody comes in with a, you know, basic color, basic skin Jaina, they also could be level 15 for all you know.
You never know. Yeah.
So it's a little bit like that. I like it because I like it mainly because I loved it so much in Diablo, and it kind of turned me around on the whole idea. Because I'll bet you could go back in the history of this show, 400 whatever episodes, and you'll find probably multiple points since 2006 where I have said I don't really care about what my character looks like. I'm not that into what he's wearing or whatever. Like, that just never seemed interesting to me. And the last iteration of transmog felt kind of clunky and lame, and I never used it. Really.
Yeah, the void storage thing turned me off quite a bit.
But this thing where it's just a damn menu and I see what I want right there, it's just, I'm freaking
this makes you want to spend some time going through all the different looks. And the fact that you can come with multiple outfits and be able to just kind of click around through them is just amazing.
Yeah.
I'll say this. The one thing I think that this transmog UI is missing, because everything is about as good as it could be, I think at this point, let's just transmog a slot instead of a piece of gear. Mm. You know?
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
I get a new piece of gear, I don't want to have to go transmog it again.
Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah, I think you should just cut out the gold. Who cares about the damn gold sink? Like, just, you know, it's like, just transmog the slot and let's go. And then when I change my gear sets, I keep my transmog. And then I can, you know, I'm just deciding which gear to wear and which transmog to use. And they're two separate things that don't matter at all. Like, it's one more little bit of inconvenience that doesn't really need to be there anymore.
Garrett, right? Garrett, why do you think they don't do that? Like, why not just have wrists and gloves and helm just stay up? You know, it's just your character's
love. I think to a certain degree that they do care about the gold sink. I mean, I don't think the three of us sitting here care about the gold sink because it's pretty minuscule and it doesn't really affect us.
Yeah, I never even think about the amount of gold I'm spending. So,
I mean, I don't know. It could be they just didn't even think about it. I mean, there's a joke here, which is like, hey, guys, look how already we got something really neat. And within a few weeks, we're already like, yeah, that's good. Nice. Well, why didn't you do this also?
Yeah.
Well,
okay. It may also be, though, like just the way Transmog works, you know, in the game.
Sure. So it should be it could be a database thing, right? It could be literally the items.
Piece of gear, yeah. Not a slot. Yeah. Not an item slot, so they'd probably have be some engineering work to do on that.
Probably, but also in the Diablo is the same thing. I wish in there it would just keep my slot and not my item. Like that's,
yeah, not the item itself.
Yeah, it works the same way, which is frustrating. So anyway, I'm for the most part pleased with what it is, though, and I'm excited.
Absolutely, I'm not saying, like, I know some people from Blizzard are listening. Yeah. We're very happy with the change. I'm just saying. Go a little further.
It's so much better than it was.
Like a camera zoom. Just a little further out. Just a little bit. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Okay. Hey, everybody. Listen up. Listen to me. Can you hear me? You can hear me, right? Because I've got a plan to make you a billionaire. Well, it depends on a lot of what your business does. But I know this much. When you're a small business and you're trying to make things work out, one of the most important things you have to worry about is, what am I going to do about hosting? I've got to be on the internet. I need a presence there. It's my business, for heaven's sakes. How can I do it and still keep my head above water and not have it cost me too much, not have it be a giant pain in the butt? Well, I got good news for you. Hostpapa.com. They have complete turnkey solutions that make it easy for small businesses like you, or digital entrepreneurs, or freelancers, or whoever you are, to get a website up and running. They have literally everything you need that your business might need, including lightning fast servers, professional email, automated website backups, cutting edge security, and hundreds of cloud-based productivity tools. And there is no limit to how rad your site can be. Super easy to set up, drag and drop website builders, and of course, like a one-click WordPress installer. Pfft, why wouldn't you want that? You can have an awesome website up and running in no time. Hostpapa is the best host for small businesses with affordable pricing and award-winning support via chat, phone, or email 24/7, 365. That's all the time, in case you're concerned about the math. If you need extra help, they'll even give you a free one-on-one dedicated 30-minute training session. Nobody else does that. Accounts start as low as $3.95 a month. That's super cheap. They'll even give you a domain for free. There is no risk even. They have 30-day money-back guarantee on every account. So even if you got a site hosted somewhere else and need to move it, they'll do that for you too. So here's the deal. If you're a small business owner or any of the other categories I've mentioned, go over to hostpapa.com/wow right now. And with the code WOW at checkout, that's W-O-W, you get 15% off their shared hosting accounts. That's the code WOW for 15% off. Hostpapa. They're great. Some highlights from the Activision Blizzard earnings call real quick. WoW Legion pre-purchases are tracking in line with previous expansion. That's good. That's high. If you recall, they were up at like 10, 11 million for the last expansion. So that seems real good that those numbers are there. There have been very positive trends for WoW over the past few months, thanks to Legion and the Warcraft movie, says the call.
This makes sense and felt like that to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Feels like there's more people in the game. Feels like there's more people running around. You go places in the game now, and there are people there that weren't previously there because everyone's running around doing transmoggy stuff and all that. So, yeah. I mean, I could have told you this without an earnings call.
I feel like they're friends who told me they were done with the game forever and don't want to play it anymore. Warlords left a bad taste in their mouth, who are now in this playing the patch, re-upped, ready to go. So,
if you're a Warcraft fan and you go see that movie, I'm sorry, you are a liar if you say you don't want to go play the game.
You dirty liar.
We walked out of the theater. We're standing in front of the restaurant outside of the theater. All four of us just looking at each other like, I really want to go home and play WoW.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you just want to fly over Dalaran and fly over Stormwind City and fly, you know, you just want to see all that stuff again.
Yep.
You want to, you know, run to Westfall across that bridge. You want to do all that stuff again, you know?
You kind of want to punch young Khadgar, though. That's one thing I wanted to do because he kind of annoyed me.
I like Khadgar.
He was fine. He was just too much of a joke all the time. And his old...
I wanted to punch every human actor.
Well, he's an apprentice, man. kind of.
Sort of, he's, right?
Yeah.
He's going rogue a little bit, but he's so cool now. Like, he's this, in the Harbingers thing last week, his yep. Khadgar one was amazing.
I'm ready for sexy dad Khadgar.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's doing it for me and all that.
Bring it on.
Dadgar?
Dadgar.
Yeah, Dadgar. Bring on Dadgar.
Dude. Nice one. You know what today's episode title is now? It's Dadgar. Well, I think it's Dadgar,
yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Those shorts have been fantastic.
Oh, they have been. You know what? Let's talk about the Illidan one real quick. I only have one real problem with it, and I know you guys are going to know what I'm going to say here because everyone's saying the same thing. It looks super cool. I love the backstory. I love where Illidan's at in this lore. I love everything about his Illidari. All that stuff is great. The art is incredible. The music, the voice acting, everything's wonderful. Freaking Liam O'Brien kicking it as Illidan once again. Friend of the show. The guy's a badass. Here's my only problem. Do you have to keep milking that prepared thing 5 times or whatever it is in that thing? I know.
Yeah, it's like his catchphrase.
I hate it. It's like he uses it like 3 times. We are not prepared. And then later it's like, you are prepared. And who's prepared again? Like, it's just too much.
Curious to know how prepared or not prepared people are.
Really,
did you study? Are you prepared? It's just too much. Yeah. Yeah, Arthas doesn't have a catchphrase.
No.
Why does Illidan need one?
Okay, here I'll take this though. As long as I think they should take it even further, you know? So just have it be like anything that happens, he finds some way to say, not necessarily even just prepared, but let's say he's fighting alongside with somebody and then some of their gear breaks and then they open up, they go to a vendor, and he says, your gear is repaired. Like, he just has to keep on going further and further.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I love that idea. I love it. It's like, no, it could be other stuff. You could say, your Bluetooth device is not paired.
Exactly. Now you're getting it. Yeah.
Oh, you seriously. You'll be a good dad one day, by the way, because you got dad jokes already.
Chat room's not incorrect. Frostmourne Hungers is kind of a catchphrase for Arthas, but they didn't lay it on this thick.
Yeah.
Man. He wasn't talking about how hungry his damn sword was 4 different times in the cinematic.
Yeah. He doesn't repeat it over and over. The only time you ever hear it for real is like the shop screen in Heroes, you might hear it a few times, but that's about it. They didn't really pound that down your throat.
But getting back to Liam O'Brien, there's no way it is not one of the most fun things in the world to voice Illidan.
Oh, my gosh.
There's just the cadence. It's almost like singing.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's fun. Here's the funny bit. When we did Nerdtacular 2015, I think this timeline's right. We had him do this little joke because Metzen was there. We were going to play him on stage, and we played him doing Illidan's voice. This is a week before they announced that this was the expansion. So we didn't know anything about Illidan coming up, and Liam told me nothing. He just did this thing for fun, and we played it there for the audience. And then later, Chris is like, how did you know? I'm like, I don't know. We freaking didn't know. We just thought this would be funny. We happen to know Liam. So I think the way it worked out now, in retrospect, he had already recorded this stuff by then. So what you're hearing in the Harbingers video is not recent. It's like a year ago they were doing taping of all this stuff. And like, who knew? And he wasn't saying anything to anyone. But now in retrospect that he can talk about it, he loves doing that thing. He's really good at it. And here's the irony. I was listening to that yesterday, and then I went and was playing Shadow of Mordor for some reason. It was on sale on Steam, so I'm a sucker. And I played the PS4 version as well, and I'd totally forgotten this, but Gollum in that game is also Liam, and he just kills it. He is so freaking good. So, yes, I will echo what you say there, Garrett. Liam is the man, and people should follow him on Twitter at Voice of O'Brien. I didn't mean to make that all a big pimp for him, but he's great.
That's fine. He's a talented dude.
He's great.
Pimp away.
Overwatch.
Your love for Liam O'Brien has been declared. All right, stop now.
George Costanza, don't eat that eclair in the garbage can.
The Seinfeld callback to George eating out of the trash. Yeah. I did not expect that to happen.
It's a pretty good one. All right. Overwatch has now 15 million players globally, according to the earnings call, including box and digital sales, internet room players, internet game room players, and multi-user console households. In China, Overwatch broke the previous record set by Diablo 3 as the fastest selling PC game in the market's history. So that's a big deal. And Overwatch also currently holds the number one position in Korea. Internet game rooms with over 30% shared, or 30% share of playtime. That's crazy, and also explains why I see a whole lot of Koreans in the matches I play.
Yeah, it unseated League of Legends, which is insane.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
That's pretty big.
Man.
That's a big deal, man.
30%. Overwatch has life-to-date revenue of about $500 million. That seems like that's also good numbers. Players have spent 500 million hours playing Overwatch, so that's about $1 per hour, if you do the math. Hearthstone, they said they had record total quarterly time spent with the launch of Whispers of the Old Gods expansion and double-digit revenue growth year over year. You guys have any thoughts on that, given your...
I take umbrage with a couple of these numbers. First, why say Overwatch has life-to-date revenue of $500 million, and then don't just say players have spent over $500 million hours playing Overwatch?
Well...
What the hell is wrong?
Oh,
with
I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, no. It's like, it's like saying, your hair is brown. My hair is auburn. You know, like trying to be all fancy. Just say the same thing.
They're breaking it apart.
Just say $500 million twice, dude. We get it.
Yeah.
And then Hearthstone double digit revenue growth year over year. What is double digit? What? Double digit percentages? Double digit, like it was 100 and now it's 10,000? Like, what is double digit mean right here?
It's a little bit vague, isn't it?
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think it did well.
As for breaking records for time spent in the game after the launch of Old Gods, it does not surprise me at all, because that was the you have to remember that that's also when the standard / wild schism happened. Like, that is the single biggest change to Hearthstone that has happened since Hearthstone just kind of launched.
Yeah, the standard wild thing, I'm sure, brought a lot of people back into the game who were getting a little burnt out, right? Mm-hmm. Because suddenly there was multiple ways to play.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like doubled down on my play time, because now I'm playing both. You know, this season I'm like, my goal is to get Legend and Wild. So that's a thing that didn't exist before. Like, I can really focus on one or the other and that kind of thing.
Do you guys
think, Garrett,
that if when they're a little more vague about numbers like this, when they say things like, you know, double digit revenue growth, which doesn't really specify what digit to what number. Does that ever make you nervous?
Or
that
what unit of number? Like, what is the unit here?
Yeah. Does that mean to you guys at all that it means something's not right, or the numbers are down, or should we not read into that?
To me, it seems it's marketing speak. It seems like it probably isn't that impressive of a number compared to the numbers that they put out previously. But it doesn't make me think, oh, it's down, it's going down. Elder Scrolls is going to come eat their lunch. That's not the reaction I'm having.
Yeah.
No, this is literally just how people who do this kind of stuff to write these releases is how they're taught to do this, right? Yeah. Is to just be kind of vague. It allows people to say things that sound impressive to shareholders without having to really delve into the numbers that matter, because if they did, then maybe somebody would take those numbers out of context, where you can never really not hear double-digit growth and think that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
But if you heard, oh, it grew this amount, and maybe last quarter it was a higher amount, like, then they're like, oh, God, it grew less, you know, and that can scare people. So instead, you don't have to explain that it's still good.
Yeah.
You can just say, yeah, here's the thing. Look.
Yeah. Well, in every game, it expects to crest and stop. But, you know, at some point, the curve starts to slow a little bit, and that's totally normal.
Like, if I told you the Warriors won more regular season games than last year, isn't that great, you guys? Mm-hmm. And everyone would be like, that's awesome. But then if I go, oh, but then we also lost in the finals and we didn't win the championship like we did the year before, then you'd be like, oh, that sucks. But see, I could just give you the number that's cool.
You should be an investor guy. Awesome. You should be my stock man. Works. Yeah, I like it. It's pretty good.
I mean, you're seeing a lot of the same discussion happening around Pokemon Go right now, which we have actual numbers about, you know, how many players have dropped off. But the game is fine. It's not going to kill the game. It just had a surge.
Sure. Surges are good.
It had a sick surge. But also the game, Niantic did mess up quite a bit.
Oh, I agree. There's no question.
Yeah.
They could still be surging if they just did a couple of things better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were not prepared. just to keep with our theme, you know. What else? Let's see. That's it for those. Oh, so we talked about the Illidan thing. That was pretty neat. What else? Oh, the Facebook streaming thing. So we mentioned it briefly last week.
Oh, yeah.
And so I tested this
week. In the game? Like, is it just the thing you click in the game? Because I haven't messed with this at all.
It's in the... so anyone who has the beta has hopefully learned, or maybe they haven't messed with it yet and not sure what to do. It's actually a beta version of the launcher that you install. And once you've installed that...
Okay. I have
the functionality's
that.
Tied in there.
Yeah, if you have it, it's all in there. And the way it works... It still kind of works per game if you want it to, because there's like a shortcut key while you're in the game. You can just start it up, or you can just start it outside in the launcher client, and then it's just working. The problem is switching games, it stops the stream, and you have to start it again. That may be fixed in time, or maybe that's how it's meant to be. I don't know. It's kind of a lame way to do that.
It just streams the game itself, right? It's not streaming like...
It'll do you.
Putting your cam and stuff.
It could do your camera. Yeah, it'll do that. Really? I tested that. Okay. That worked fine. I played a bunch of Overwatch and some Heroes with it. And it works as advertised, like totally works. It's not a problem. Puts it up on your page. If you have a public page, everyone can see it, link it out, whatever. It seems to me, now having seen the interface and see how it functions, and I didn't really have any bugs or crashes or anything weird, but it does seem like it is designed to, one day I'll be able to choose some sort of drop down that says YouTube gaming, Twitch, whatever, you know, like different services, because there's no way they just stay with Facebook. I think this is a promotional thing between the two of them to get started. Also, it lets them control load and issues like that, and they can kind of iron out some of the bugs or whatever, but totally works. Bunch of people watch videos and it was fine. I don't think anybody's, you know, like YouTube gaming kind of proved, not that they're doing terrible, but they did not make the dent in the Twitch base that everyone thought they might. I don't know if Facebook will do that either. I think Facebook Live is actually a pretty powerful tool for a lot of social reasons and communication reasons, in the same way that like Periscope and other stuff does well. But there's no way, in my mind anyway, at least not right away, unless they put a huge push behind it. It's not like Facebook's going to suddenly become the place you go to watch people stream their games. And the fact that it's just Blizzard doing it and that sort of thing. Although OBS now has an option to stream to Facebook. So all this is just baked in streaming for Blizzard games. It's no different than any other game that has that. And there are plenty of them that do. I think it's ESO, Elder Scrolls Online lets you do that, I believe, right in the client. You can just stream to Twitch. Not Facebook.
Those are built into most modern consoles.
Yeah, it's like, and that's the other thing, is people asking this question about, well, can I do this on my console? Well, you already can, because it's built into them. And they're not going to put another layer of some streamy hoo-ha on top of that, because they don't have it. There's no, you know, this is really just for PC players and technically Mac players. So anyway, that's something that was interesting. It's worth playing with just to see. Like, Dills, you should check it out just to see. But
yeah, I mean, the thing for me, though, is that the Twitch channel is so, like, ingrained as my
base, it's your home, exactly.
And all of a sudden I just was like, tonight I'm streaming from Facebook. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't even use Facebook for anything gaming related at all. Mm-hmm. Facebook is just kind of where real life friends go, and then I ignore it for the most part, because at this point Facebook is just a bunch of clickbait videos and stupid stuff. Right now, just people arguing about the election. So yeah,
that's true. I'm always hesitant to not criticize what Facebook is or has become or how I use it, but they always surprise me. Like, they're always like everybody else, like, oh, Twitter's topped out. They're not having growth. Their advertising stuff's not working. They need a new CEO. Like, there's always wanting and complaining about all these other platforms trying to get their shit together. And then you read what's happening, or you get earnings reports and meetings and stuff from Facebook, and they're killing it. They're like almost 2 billion users. Yeah. They're growing just like hand over fist. They're making tons of revenue, breaking all the records. Yet everyone I talk to hates Facebook or doesn't hardly use it. You know, like, they're, at least that's the feeling I get.
Grandma
demographic, man. They got your grandparents on there. Twitter doesn't have your grandparents on it.
No.
It's the one place that like everybody can use and understands what they can do there. Mm-hmm. But I think, there's a lot of people who are maybe from the younger generations who just find the newer, cooler thing. Mm. But then a lot of people just are like, no, I've found the one thing. I'm not changing it anymore.
Yeah. The first time I had proper internet access, it was AOL.
Yeah.
And I hated it. The second I figured out that once I connect on an AOL, that I can open up Internet Explorer and just have a proper browser and use the internet like a normal human being, that's the way I did it. And that's how I see Facebook. It's like, well, this is just another version of that AOL, that curated internet experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so. Because they've tried to be so many things to so many people. And I guess it's working on some level, obviously, or else they wouldn't be making so much money. But the bottom line is, I think that if players are excited about this feature, they will get functionality for their preferred gaming homes, whether that be Twitch or YouTube gaming or something else. So look forward to that, I suppose. And in the meantime, just...
I want somebody to really challenge Twitch. I do. Like, I know that I said, oh, that's just where I... But I've built that channel up at this point. It's going to be tough for me to ever move off of that channel. And that's just because that's just where I have lived as far as streaming is concerned for a few years now.
Right.
But I do want someone to challenge Twitch because I really don't agree with a lot of the things that they do and the decisions they make.
Yeah, there's some funky...
Some of the bans they've put out don't make sense compared to what other people seem to be able to get away with.
Yeah.
Their partnership program is really crappy because it's essentially... Do you know somebody who works at Twitch? Oh, you're a you're a partner.
Yeah.
Oh, have you been streaming for years and blah blah blah? No, you're still not a partner. Screw you.
Yeah.
Like that happens to and I'm not just talking about myself. I'm talking about like there's a lot of people I know who've been putting in the work and like can't get it, and then some other person just kind of like waltzes in. Like that kind of stuff doesn't make a lot of sense. So there's a lot of there's a lot of things that I think Twitch does that isn't that cool. And the problem is that they don't feel like they have to do anything different because who the hell cares? No one's challenging us.
Yeah.
And you're not crazy, Dills. I mean, we've had developer after developer on Angry Chicken on the Amove channel. Amove's channel was nominated for a Blizzard Stream Award sponsored by Twitch, and that's not a partner channel.
Yeah exactly. It's dumb. But that stuff aside, it's not just like it's just all the things that they do, and they have this kind of like cool kids mentality that and like everything they're kind of impenetrable and no one's ever going to take us off this top spot. But that's because nobody's really challenged them. So I want people to, so that they have to kind of address what people want them to do and not just be like, yeah, whatever, dude, we do what we want.
Yeah, you know? Point of competition, just period. It's Blizzard and the fact that other companies can do things that challenge them. It's the fact that, Dota and League continue to be so dominant pushes that Heroes team to do all they can to be an important MOBA in the space. Like it's the same with these guys. So I agree with you 1,000%. I really thought it might've been YouTube gaming. Like when that was ramping up, I thought, you know what, if anyone's got the strength, the power, the money, the wherewithal and the will, it'll be Google. And they just didn't freaking do it.
They didn't really take that seriously, I think, which is too bad because it is, I think, a great way to do it, but they didn't really alter the UI too much. They basically said, here's the standard thing where you're watching YouTube. Oh, this time it's live.
Yeah, they branded the same thing. They just branded what they were already doing and then said, well, it's live instead of you scheduling it or whatever. You can just start one anytime. Yeah. That's a tiny little switch of difference. And then the branding just kind of went away. It's real weird.
It needs to feel different. You need to feel like you've moved from YouTube into the YouTube streaming portion of the site. Mm-hmm. And then it like looks different and it's easy to find the people you want to watch and all that kind of stuff. But like, if I try to find someone streaming on YouTube, it's like, I actually don't even know where to go.
Yeah.
Like if I go to YouTube right now and I'm like, I want to find live streams. Where do I click for that?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Super, super weird how they did it.
It's not good.
Well, anyway, we could have a whole, there's an entire discussion to be had about that. The Tomb of Sargeras, however you say it. I've never said it right.
Sargeras.
There you go. The audio drama is out, 4 parts in already. They've been doing it daily. Ooh. It's both released as a podcast. They're doing something with Apple on that, with iTunes, although you can subscribe to it anywhere. Also, YouTube, where they're just showing static art, but playing the audio. They are audio dramas in the vein of, some audiobooks are like this, where they'll do more dramatic readings. Also reminds me of like old school, old time radio, where it's like all the dramas are on there. It's a lot like that. I have not heard any of it yet because I'm saving it for like a big binge one day because they're coming out daily and I can't really keep up anyway. So I'm excited about it. But everybody I've talked to says they're great and really enjoyed them. You guys heard them at all?
I have not listened, but I'm kind of in your boat where I just want to kind of go through it all at once.
Yeah.
Or wait till I have like a long drive or something and then rock it out there. But I'm just really happy that they're putting out all this extra stuff, all of this kind of lore related extra stuff, because it's always been one of the things that they've done so well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And quest text isn't the way to impart the lore of World of Warcraft to the people, right?
Right.
So this is a much better way.
I love it. Every time there's a new expansion, they're trying something new like this, and I totally dig it. Here's a sample of what that sounds like. I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm going to skip it.
Your fate.
That was not me!
Gul'dan roared.
Betrayal is in your nature.
See, that's cool, man. It's all
someone's
like,
having a blast putting this together.
I agree.
This
totally
is the funnest
agree.
Stuff to do ever.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we did the Christmas special on the AIE podcast?
Yeah, I do remember that.
It was one of the funnest things I ever sat down and edited because it was just, you know, I had like you, who were you? You were Grinchwing?
I was Grinchwing. Yeah.
Grinchwing. Yeah. Who's also Ding Pong somehow. We had like Randy, we had Nicole's bag, we had everybody, we had a song in the middle.
Yep.
That was like one of the funnest things that I ever got to sit down and edit. So
very fun.
That kind of stuff
of
to
that.
Me has always been really fun.
Yeah, I really like that a lot. Yeah, check it out. Garrett, have you heard any of it? Check this out at all?
The audio drama? Yeah. No, I haven't tuned into it yet. I'm like you. I kind of want to just save up and binge the whole thing.
Netflix has ruined me this way. I just feel like I need to, you know, I need it all first and then I'll be good. Like I put off Mr. Robot and now I'm just going to finally start watching it. And same reason. Just how I am now.
Dude,
how I consume
I've heard
media.
Nothing but amazing stuff about that. And actually, I'm still on the Stranger Things wagon. I got a
so good.
Yeah,
I haven't even started it yet.
Watched like some of episode one, but I didn't have time. So I was like, I got to stop this now. I can tell that I'm going to get sucked in.
Yeah,
yeah. Katie and I tore through that in 2 days.
I've got to watch it. I'm so sick of hearing about how great it is. I need to freaking just take some time and do it. Things have been busy.
You know what's good? People are already talking about season two. Like immediately.
Yeah. It is so up your alley, Scott.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I mean, everything about it just sings to me from what I've heard. So I got to watch it. Heroes of the Storm, real quick. Any thoughts on Ariel or Oreo, as we call her on the core show?
Ariel. Yeah, she's very good.
Yeah, I like her. She's a lane clearing healer, man. Like that slapping ribbon deal she does is awesome. Good. I can't think of another healer.
She's also like a sustain healer because when you get your when you build up hope or whatever it is on the right target, you just never run out of healing.
Yep.
Like you just don't. It's your bar is constantly full. It's awesome.
I like that a lot. I'm so glad she's not mana based. I love the new way. I love how she feels. I was unsure about that when I was reading about her. I thought, I don't want like some weird energy thing I got to build up, and I was wrong about that. It works great. She seems
have
rad.
You played her yet, Garrett?
I have, yes. We talked about her a lot on Into the Nexus last night. I love her kit. I think it's fantastic. She's not boring to play at all. It's a very active skill set.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm hugely concerned about the way that she does heal because we talked about this with Kyle last night, but the gist is that since her healing is tied directly into damage being put out, that she's going to feel amazing when you're ahead, and she's probably going to feel pretty underwhelming when you're behind.
Mm. Good point. She's going to... Yeah, this is going to be interesting because they've needed support for a long time. I would like to remind the world that the last support we got was Morales, and that was forever ago.
Yes, yes. And folks that have listened to me talk about it on ITN know that I think playing Morales is the most boring thing you can do in the game, and I think Ariel is the exact opposite.
I am going to disagree with you a little bit because in a pinch game where things are tight, I really enjoy playing Morales. I know it's a little bit of whack-a-mole, right? You're just sort of... Mm-hmm. Jumping around trying to make sure everybody's topped out or get them, you know, so they're surviving and you're running out of mana a lot and all that. But I love her for those kinds of games when they're just kind of average games or some sort of ARAM or something that she's no fun really in there at all. But that on top of the fact that if I can finish off some butthole that thinks he's getting away with my grenade, that feels good.
That is the best feeling in the world. Yeah. And I'm not, you're definitely not alone. We get a lot of people that defend Morales and love playing Morales, and that's totally cool. All I'm saying is that if you are like me and you find Morales to be a bit on the boring side, well, Ariel might be your jam because she's very active.
I agree.
You have to be on top of her.
She's like Karazim that way, which I also love about Karazim. He's just constantly moving and jumping and diving and also doing a pretty good healing.
I can definitely see the snowball-y thing you're talking about because let's say you're the target of your trait dies or something like that. And suddenly your energy buildup is significantly less. And it's like, now we just instantly lose this team fight. And now we're behind and we can never actually engage again. Like that kind of thing will definitely start to happen. I think there's ways that you can fix that if that does become a problem, right?
Yeah, I mean, so, bestow hope per trait is only on a 1.5 second cooldown. So if your target that you bestowed upon dies, chances are it's off cooldown and you can put it on somebody else. So I really, again, we talked about this last night, is that you want to be jumping you want to be bestowing on different targets every time. If, say, you have a Kael'thas, you want to bestow on Kael'thas right before he uses all of his cooldowns. And then once he's spent, throw it on someone else that's about to use their cooldowns and output a bunch of damage to really build up that energy quickly. So if you're wanting to play Auriel to the best of your ability, you're going to be moving your bestow target around constantly.
Yeah, no, that's true. But the but like then if you're behind to the point where you can't actually engage and you're just like running around poking, like you're not going to be putting out that much damage as a team, so it's going to be tough to build up that energy, right?
Yes.
So
yes, absolutely. Yeah. The other scary thing too is if Auriel herself is taking damage and she needs to heal herself, she has to put herself close to the fight so that she's healing more than just herself.
Yeah, because it's just a circle, and that's the only healing ability you have. So
yes,
you have to make sure that you're maximizing it. However, when you have full energy and you have a bunch of people low and you heal all of them at the same time, that's a pretty powerful tool for a healer to
have. At level one, it does 1,000 and change healing. If you're maxed out on your energy, and to put that into perspective, I think Uther's big heal at level one does just under 500. So at full energy, it's doing like double of an Uther heal.
Oh my gosh.
And that's massive. It's huge. But
that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
You don't always need that. And you also can't budget the energy. If you use that heal, it uses all of your energy, whether you want it to or not.
Yeah. So when I was playing her the first time, I kept thinking, I need to use my energy up every time I've got it fully stored, because now I'm just wasting any extra damage that's going out is all energy I'm not gaining, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, as I started to play her, I was like, it's actually better to just hold this max energy until I need the big heal and just know that I have the big heal ready to rock, right?
Yes,
because there's times where I was just using it just to use it. That's the hunter in me, right? I'm like, no, I'm focus capped. Like, I'm energy capped. This is terrible. But you
exactly,
you know,
yeah,
really,
but it's so big.
Sure.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. Well, I'm anxious to see how it goes. She's fun on the PTR. Hope she's fun.
Here's
in
how
real
you
life.
Could fix the snowball problem, though. She could build energy faster if you're behind in levels or something like that.
Oh, hey,
right?
All right, that's not bad, actually. Yeah, that's
Bill's just fixed Heroes of the Storm.
Nicely done. You know what? You can apply that to about 10 other problems in the game. Nicely done. Mm-hmm. Jeez, who'd have thought? Who'd have thunk it? Overwatch is having their summer games deal, and they have Rocket League. Oh, excuse me, I mean Lucio Ball in it.
I have not played it yet. Is it actually really fun?
It's actually pretty fun. It's not
really fun.
It's super fun. It's not. Listen, it. I'm not gonna say it feels like, oh, this should be a permanent mode and never leave the game. I don't think I like it that much, but it's. In other words, it's no Rocket League at being Rocket League, but it's pretty fun. Like, you're running around with Lucio and you're knocking balls into giant nets and you're playing soccer 3-on-3. And
it seems like the novelty of this is really cool because I'm Lucio and I'm, you know, I'm using my knockback right click and stuff.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, normal Overwatch play, which does seem cool. However, I could see myself getting bored of it like very fast.
Yeah, it's not so much that it's not, I don't know, it's not boring, but it's just not, it's not Overwatch. It's like this funny side
thing. And it's not Rocket League either.
You know, it's not. And it's a nice nod to Rocket League. I mean, they haven't really acknowledged that, but they should probably, I think.
Well, did they do this like in partnership with them? Or did they just go, we're just going to do this?
I think they're into it there, and so they just made this mode. I don't know.
I would like to bring up a point that I haven't heard anyone mention, Russell's my Jimmy's a bit.
But you mentioned
everyone's like, oh, this is totally ripping off Rocket League. But guys, Rocket League is ripping off normal ass soccer. Calm down.
But like there's, you know, there was no game that was cars playing soccer before. Like, you know,
This is people playing soccer.
And aesthetically, like it looks exactly like Rocket League, though, too. Like,
yeah, when I got one of those physical boxes in the mail. It showed up without notice, and it looks like a loot box. I opened it up, and it's got those cards and stuff, and there's some art in there. This is before seeing videos or the announcement or anything that morning, so I didn't know. I periscoped it, so it's out there. But anyway, I open up this card, and there is Lucio with a bunch of soccer balls, and he's wearing a skin or whatever. Olympic jargon, and then the background is what looks to me like literally a Rocket League field. Like, my brain, as soon as I saw it, I went, oh, Rocket League. What are they doing? Are they combining efforts? Are they working together? This is cool. I like both these guys. And I was freaking out. And then I went, oh, well, it is like Rocket League, except, oh, man, they're just straight up lifting it. Like, I'm not going to say they stole it. Everyone iterates. Everyone has fun. If anything, I see this as like an homage in a weird way. It's limited time only, blah, blah, blah. It's not like they're making a new game or something, but I think it'd be cool if they came out publicly and just said, hey, props to the Rocket League guys because they gave us this idea or something, because it's clearly taken from Rocket League.
Yeah, but it's so obvious, like, nobody needs to really hear that to know.
Yeah,
but it is also, like, a weird thing to not know if Rocket League gave them permission or not.
Or just to say, whatever. Just as a nice gesture, just to say, you guys inspired the hell out of us, so we made this cool thing. I think it'd just be a nice thing for the behemoth Blizzard to do to the smaller, you know, indie studio, which they're not so small anymore, but you know what I mean. And the ball, even the ball, dude, it looks like the ball. It's a giant ball. It's gray. It has lights on it. It is the freaking Rocket League ball in almost every way. So.
And it has walls, and they force you to play the character that can ride on the walls. And No, you're not wrong.
I fully believe in the legality of this, because you know Blizzard wouldn't do anything without somebody looking into it, making sure that it's okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a certain point where you can take something that exists and iterate on it, and that's okay. Like, you know, the Arena Football League didn't have to, like, call the NFL and be like, is it cool if we have a football, too, and we throw it into end zones? Like, no, you're doing something different.
I never thought of that. I guess that's true. They wouldn't have to do that, would they?
Nobody owns
a copyright on football, because you and I can go out and play in the alley and nobody can stop us.
Someone shows up. Excuse me, are you sanctioned by the NFL?
That would be awful.
Well, I mean, also you could go on the alley and sing Queen, and you're not necessarily going to get, you know, dinged by licensing companies.
But you can't throw it into your YouTube video without,
Yeah, it's all very confusing. Yes. This is Tom Merritt territory. He'd have to help.
Tom,
can you tell?
What can and can't I do?
What's wrong with copyright again? Remind us. And then also the Overwatch. And that includes a bunch of skins for this limited time. Your loot boxes are all Olympic themed, and you have a chance of getting Olympic items out of there, including skins for certain characters, a bunch of sprays, some animations, some other stuff. So it's they're making a big deal out of it. I thought at first it was an actual tie-in to the Brazil or to the Rio Olympics, but it doesn't appear to be. That logo is like their own. It's all really well made though. Like, you could have fooled me that this looked like a kind of a conjunction, like, hey, we're working with the Olympic committee. And if that was true,
has anybody tried drinking 3 tablespoons of water in Overwatch and seeing if they contract a deadly virus?
No, but they have tried. There's a new mode coming to Brawl next week where you all stand in a room full of mosquitoes.
Keep your mouth closed mode.
Yeah. Brawl. Don't keep your mouth closed. Don't touch any mosquitoes. And I hope you're not pregnant. All right.
They should come out with put out the Olympic torch mode, where everybody tries to put out the Olympic torch.
I love that idea. But I will say, I think this is the funnest Brawl they've had in the game since they started doing Brawls. So I don't.
Oh,
really...
I think so. Absolutely, it changes up how you play the game of Overwatch quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Which all the previous Brawls, they've had some wacky rules, but it's still been, regular Overwatch gameplay.
Yeah, you shoot each other. This thing, you don't. You punch a ball, or you use your right click when it's off cooldown to push it further and push other people out of your way. And your ultimate, which usually gives people shields, in this case, sucks the ball to you, so it's good for saves or for stealing the ball.
Yeah.
And other than that, though, it's not a shooter. Like, it's
not at all.
It's a weirdo freaking Lucio nightmare. It's crazy. It's great, though.
But
it's
really extremely fun, and for everyone playing Overwatch who never played Rocket League, I'm glad that you get to experience goalie rage.
Yeah, it's the worst. Oh, I do wish it would explode like Rocket League and blow everybody out of there like it does in Rocket League. I like that. When a goal happens in Rocket League, any car within the vicinity just gets blown across the field. And there's something about that's visceral, so it'd be great to see all these Lucios just go and get thrown in all these directions.
I think a bunch of Roadhog hooks should just come in and pull them away from it.
All right. That's a better idea. Also, he talks too much. And when there are 6 of you on the field, Lucio will not freaking shut up. It is just constantly going.
Let's break it down.
Oh, yeah. You feel that? You feel that? Speed boost. He's constantly doing speed boost. Anyway, so there's that. Also, the Overwatch Cup is coming to BlizzCon in final news here. Attention all soldiers, scientists, adventurers, and oddities. The Overwatch World Cup needs heroes. It'll be up to you to answer the call. They say that you can do the following. Hold on, this link isn't working for me. Why? Now it is. You need to, in phase one, vote for your team. So you got to, it's really weird how they're doing this. It's basically crowdsourced team picking. And these are going to be teams that will compete up and until and on BlizzCon. This is separate from the E-League stuff that's going on. Not E-League. Who's the other tournament? I forgot that the pros are playing. I forgot already. Crap. Doesn't matter. Talked about it last night on Rally Point. Hey, Rally Point will be up later today from Bleacher Report. You guys can hear me talk about it there where I remembered it. I'm getting old. Anyway, phase two of the exhibition begins. This is Americas, Europe, and APAC, which is, you know, everything Asia, Ocean, or the, what do you call them? Ocean people. What are they called? Australians. What are they? Oceanics. They're all in there. Anyway, they're going to have this big tournament. Sounds exciting. Feels like Heroes of the Dorm in a weird way, except not colleges. And I know it seems healthy for the game. What do you think, Garrett? Mister, I have a podcast absolutely. About this game.
It's the early stages of Overwatch, and we haven't had a chance to set up a year-long league system like all of the other competitive Blizzard games have. So I think this is a good middle ground.
Yeah, it's real. Not a lot of time though. We're all going to be, you know, in Anaheim in like what, 2-3 months, something like that.
Yeah, don't remind me. I also have Dragon Con in between there. It's going to be a crazy end of the year.
It's going to be nuts.
But yeah, it's coming right up. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, Overwatch came out in the middle of the year. It's not like we've had three full seasons to figure out the best teams.
Yeah. Well, time will tell. I'm excited. Overwatch World Cup coming to Blizzard. And this show coming to an end. That's going to do it for us, everybody. Big thanks for listening, everybody at home and out there. A reminder about that Rally Point thing. So our second episode goes up today sometime. This is the threesome of myself, Brian Huff, and Seven doing a show for BleacherReport.com. You may know them as an actual sports outlet. And they're getting big into esports and competitive gaming. So if you want to check that out, it happens twice a week. It's available at BleacherReport.com/esports and wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, all over the place. We are currently like third or fourth in the game listing up there, so we're happy about that. Anyway, do check it out. We talk a bunch about this competition and others that are coming up for games ranging from League of Legends all the way to Hearthstone, and it's a good time. Let's go around the table and get everybody's what's going on right now. We'll start with Garrett, our guest. What's going on with you, man? Where do people want to go to find you more this week?
You can find everything I do on amove.tv, and you can follow me on Twitter at GarrettArt. But mostly, I want to point everyone to the YouTube channel. Head on over to youtube.com/amovetv because there is a CreateCon playlist, so you can catch everything you missed from the convention last weekend.
Nice. You can see Jury naked or something, right?
I can't promise that.
Damn it. Well, then, no sale. Dills, what are you doing? What's going on?
Check me out on Twitter at Willie Dills, twitch.tv/WillieDillsSF. We'll be streaming later today. And the YouTube channel, there's a couple videos now about the Hunter specs. We still have to do the Beastmaster one, but that is forthcoming.
Nice.
So I just decided to do the two that I think most people, they're more complicated, right? Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Starting with those. And at some point, when it makes sense, we may do some of the other classes. However, Hunter is my jam, so obviously we start there. But we may or may not do more of that. But there is some cool stuff going on. This month I'll be doing a climb on the wild ladder to try to get to Legend. So you'll see every day when I finish, I'm going to kind of put together a little highlight reel of that. So you can kind of, even if you miss the streams, you can keep tabs on what's going on if that's interesting to you.
Nice.
And what decks I'm using and all that stuff.
Very cool. Still one of the best hunters I've ever played with, so you should watch his videos on hunting with hunters.
Yeah, one day I'll get back into being good at it. But, you know.
Back in the day, though, you were scary. Yeah. You were scary, dude. You would top out on charts. You would freak everybody out. You would make all other hunters in a 25-man group feel like wieners. So
I can do it again, Scott.
Do it again.
I will.
Do it again. You can do it again. Let's make Dills great again, okay?
Yes, we're going to build a wall. It's going to be great.
It's going to be huge. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you'd like more shows like this, head on over to frogpants.com. Plenty of shows happening and going on there. We miss Patrick and Terpster. Should have him back next week, we hope. Big thanks again to Garrett for sitting in for those guys. You are the equivalent of two Europeans. You should be proud. So well done.
Good to know.
Well, you don't eat enough cheese or complain about, I don't know, immigration enough. But other than that,
you need to work on the beard and the scarf game. But
yeah. Other than that, yeah, your scarf game's a little low.
Scarf game is lacking.
Get on
that's
that.
That's my racial passive.
Water out of wine glasses.
That's your race. It's your racial passive.
For being Floridian, man, we don't wear scarves down here. It's too hot.
That's a good point.
Good point. All right.
They attract gators too.
Sorry, pink thong. That's your That's what you wear down there, right? Keep nice and cool. That's going to do it for us. TheInstance.net is the place. Instant Show on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. And we'll see you guys next week for a whole new show with everybody or anybody within the sound of my voice. If you can hear me, take care.
Latest game craze leaves orc laborers desperate for sleep. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. The long, long, long wait for the next World of Warcraft expansion is almost over. But until then, millions of players have been struggling to find ways to fight their boredom. In a sign of just how bad things have gotten, a new craze has swept Azeroth, a game in which adventurers seek out orc lumberjacks, porters, and other low-level workers, wait for them to fall asleep, and then harass them mercilessly. Prodding, tickling, tossing small rocks, and squirting with water are only some of the techniques these obsessed players use to torment the poor, tired orc. The goal is not to kill him, but to document what verbal response this semi-attack evokes. These range from a resigned, okie dokie, to a plaintive, stop touching me. There are rumors that Iron Horde lumberjacks have other responses, but so far nobody has lived to document them. For the obsessed players of this game, camping sites where workers congregate, the phrase, gotta hear 'em all, has become a strange mantra. The Orc Laborers Union held a rally where they pointed out that orc productivity has crashed, endangering preparations for the Burning Legion invasion. They demanded the game be banned, and the rally ended with the entire crowd screaming in frustration, Pokepeon, go!
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Greetings, gamers. This is Mewcow, a resident expert on a common gamer condition called altitis. With the pre-patch in full swing, let's focus on our alts. While there's already plenty to do with the 7.0 patch in play, alts are worth the focus. If you still have any alts in that level 90 to 100 range, the experience needed has been greatly reduced, making the process faster than ever. You should also give your various alts and their specs a full run-through to see how you like them. You might even find yourself switching your main character to something new, due to a total class overhaul. And for those of us with multiples of a class, worry not. Even though all specs are now open to us with the click of a button, the Legion artifact weapon you choose has a major impact. Multiple class alts means multiple artifact quest lines to experience, just in time for the lore buffet to begin. If you have questions, tips, or want to discuss the topic further, find us on Twitter at altitis.net, and show notes can be found on altitis.net. On behalf of the Alt Army, we hope you find this information useful in the treatment of your altitis.
Welcome to the Transmogrifier, a little show about finding the coolest weapons and armor sets in WoW. With the new Transmog Collection window, it's much easier to manage all your weapons and armor sets. Today we're going to be looking for the Absolution Regalia. This armor comes in three color variations, a red, white, and blue. The white one is the easiest version to obtain, making this a perfect set for priests. The helmet and shoulders have a cool glowing effect, and the shoulders have some kind of strange, blindfolded, chained woman's face on it, so that's interesting. All of the pieces besides the shoes can be obtained from Black Temple bosses. You can check WoWhead for the exact details, alternate armor pieces to fill out the set, and lots of other cool transmog ideas. While you're in Black Temple, you can find some other cool drops such as the Blades of Azenoth, and the Reliquary of the Lost boss drops the Fragments of Anger, Desire, and Suffering pets, so that one boss drops three different pets. For more video game related podcasts, check out VGR_podcast on Twitter.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.